All right, tonight we want to continue our panorama of previous Psalms by looking at Psalm 3. So if you would, please take your copy of God's Word and be turning with me, if you would, to the third Psalm. Psalm chapter number 3 this evening. Now, the events of Psalm 3 surround the time when David had to flee for his life out into the wilderness as his own son Absalom was trying to take the throne from him by force. And as a broken-hearted father, David shows us the precious peace and the soul security of God's people in times of trouble. And he shows us just how safe we really are in the hand of God. Now we looked at Psalm 3 under this title, "The Lord is Our Rock." Now, Psalm 3 is easily divisible into four parts of two verses each. In the first two verses, we see how we should complain to God during times of trouble. In verses 3 and 4, we see how we should confide in God during times of trouble. In verses 5 and 6, how we should have confidence in God during times of trouble. And then in verses 7 and 8, we see how we should conquer through God during times of trouble. Well, if you found your place there in Psalm 3, I want you to go ahead and stand with me and let's read this psalm together. Psalm 3, starting in verse number 1. Everybody ready? The Bible says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no hope for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." Psalm 3, "The Lord is our rock." Now, as this psalm begins, David is facing rebellion from the A-team. Not Mr. T and his boys. I read a meme this week of Mr. T, and as I read that meme, I read it in the classical voice of Mr. T, and the meme said, "I pity the fool who dies without Jesus Christ." And what a true statement that is. The man who dies without Christ is to be pitied, especially when God has offered us such a great salvation, a free salvation in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as Psalm 3 begins, David was facing rebellion from the A-team. Again, not Mr. T and his boys. That might have been better for David, but David was facing rebellion from the A-team of Absalom, Ahithophel, his advisors, and his army. First of all, David was facing rebellion from Absalom. His very own son had sweet-talked the people of Israel for 40 long years. The Bible says he stole the hearts of the children of Israel. And the Bible says the conspiracy was strong for Absalom. As Absalom was coming to take not only his daddy's throne, he was coming to take his daddy's life. David was facing rebellion from Absalom. David was facing rebellion from Ahithophel, David's most trusted counselor. Now, I don't know if you remember Ahithophel, but Ahithophel was a very powerful man. In fact, the Bible says it like this, that when Ahithophel spoke, It was as the oracles of Almighty God. You talking about a powerful man. The weight of the words of Ahithophel were on equal standing as the weight of the words of God in Israel. Ahithophel, an extremely powerful man, and he had the hearts and ears of the nation. Absalom was in rebellion against David. Ahithophel was in rebellion against David. And his advisors were in rebellion against him. When it came time for the rubber to meet the road in this conspiracy, a good portion of David's court, they fell right in line with the conspiracy of Absalom. Absalom, Ahithophel, his advisors, and some of his army were even in rebellion against him. Even some of David's generals, even some of his soldiers had deserted him for that old rascal, Absalom. And what a tragedy, because David had been such a wonderful blessing to his advisors and to his army. Now, friend, that's the situation that David faced when Psalm 3 opens. David was facing rebellion from the A-team. Now you talk about a trial. Your own kid is trying to kill you. You ever thought about that? My friend, none of us have probably faced a trial like that. And you know, it's been well said that a trial will either do one or two things for us. A trial is either going to drive us to God, or that trial is going to drive us from God. Well, notice with me that this trial that David was facing drove David to God, thus revealing the genuineness of his own walk with the Lord. Psalm 3, the Lord is our rock. Let's go ahead and look at these first two verses. And I want us to see how we should complain to God during times of trouble. Look at verse number 1. David said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Church, when trouble comes knocking on your door, the first thing we must do is we must maintain prayer. We must bring our complaints straight to God. Notice David said, Lord, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Friend, don't wait until that furnace gets turned up 7 times hot in your life. Take your trouble immediately to God. Don't let your friends, don't let your family, not even your pastor, don't let anybody hear about your problems from you first. Don't let God hear from anybody about your problems before God hears from you about your problems. My friend, when trouble comes knocking on our door, the first thing we must do is we must maintain prayer. The second thing we must do is we must maintain peace. Now, the whole world was against David, but you could never tell it by simply reading this psalm, could you? I mean, we just read it a few moments ago. Everything seems at peace in the life of David. But my friend, I tell you, if anyone had a right to complain about something being unfair, it was David. David had a right to expect better things from his son, whom he had pardoned, than his own son trying to rise up and to kill him. David had a right to expect better things from his servants that he had been a blessing to for years, than his servants rising up and joining Absalom against him. Yet here David is in this trouble. And running for his life, David was as calm as a cucumber, as they say. David had perfect peace. Instead of having a pouting pity party, David drops to his knees and David prays. My friend, listen to me. The peace that Jesus gives to his children is not the absence of trouble. No, the peace that Jesus gives to his children rather is the confidence that he is right there with us always, especially in trouble. His peace is the promise of his presence during problems. My friend, when troubles come knocking on our door, the first thing we must do is we must maintain prayer. The second thing we must do is we must maintain peace. The third thing we must do when troubles come knocking on our door is we must maintain piety. Look at verse number one again. David said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. David said, Lord. Now at some point, those who we love the most, those who we trust the most, they are going to do something that we don't understand. They're going to do something to us that's going to hurt us deeply. How could those so close to us betray us so bitterly? That's the question many have asked. My friend, can I tell you? Those things happen because they are sinners just like you are. And because they are sinners, they hurt us sometimes in deep ways that we don't understand, just like sometimes we hurt them in deep ways that we don't understand. My friend, when that happens, don't get angry. Don't quit on God. But bring your complaint straight to God in prayer. Maintain our piety. Because if we fail at this point, I promise you're going to end up sinning against God in your trouble. The Lord is our rock, and nothing should ever cause us to waver. My friend, I've been hurt in every single church that I've ever been a part of. I've grown close to the churches I've been a part of, but I didn't quit on God. I didn't stop serving God. I maintained my piety because my relationship is not primarily in this direction. My relationship primarily is vertical. It is with God. And when the relationship with God is right, then the relationship with God's people will be right. So in these first two verses, we see how numerous and we see how nasty David's enemies are. First of all, we see how numerous David's enemies are. David said, many there be which rise up against me. And many there say, we see how numerous his enemies are, but we also see how nasty his enemies are. They said, there is no help for him in God. And that's about as nasty of a thing that you can say against anybody. But my friend, can I tell you, that is a lie. No matter your trouble, maintain your devotion to God, because there's always a reason to hope in God. So stay in church. Keep serving God. Keep giving to the cause of God, because no situation is hopeless, not when God is on his throne. Face your Goliath situation in the name of the Lord God of heaven. The Lord is our rock. Absalom was a handsome man. He was smooth spoken. He was a gifted liar. All the cards seemed stacked in his favor. But Absalom didn't have the Lord. But his daddy David did. And that made all the difference in this situation. The Lord is our rock. Not only do we see how we should complain to God during times of trouble, verses 3 and 4 show us how we should confide in God during times of trouble. Look at verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Now notice that word shield in verse number 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Do you see that word? Now that word shield is not the word that we would typically think of, that of a frontal shield like the Roman soldier holding it there. No, no. The word for shield there means a complete circumference. It means to totally engulf a man and to surround a man entirely. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Thou, O Lord, has completely circumferenced me. Thou, O Lord, has completely surrounded me. David had found perfect protection. My friend, God is a personal God. Notice what David said. He said, thou art a shield for me. Now, my friend, do you just know facts about God? Or do you know God personally? If you do, confide in Him. Glory in Him. Find your confidence in Christ. Don't find your confidence in circumstances. Find your confidence in Jesus, not in your job. Let Him be the lifter up of your head. Walk around proudly as a child of God. Don't walk around feeling intimidated as a Christian. Don't walk around feeling second class. Don't walk around feeling like a you're inferior. Don't walk around feeling shame as a child of God. Walk around proudly as a child of God. Lift up your head. God doesn't want us to be doubting Christians. God wants us to be shouting Christians. My friend, how can that happen? This happens even during troubles, as David shows us in this psalm. We can lift up our head even during troubles by four steps. Number one, by our regard for God. David said, but thou, O Lord. David knew, K-N-E-W. David knew God. And my friend, if you have a knowledge of the most powerful being in the universe, that is something to glory in. You know your Creator. You know the one that you're ultimately accounting to at the end of your lives. Let that be a reason to glory in God. We can glory in God even during our troubles. Number one, by our regard for God. Number two, by our relationship with God. Notice again, David said, Lord, thou art a shield for me. David was in God's family. And my friend, with God in our corner, we have every reason to glory in our trouble. I mean, if God is on our side, who's going to be against us, my friend? Who's bigger than God? Who can outwit God? Who can stop God? And God is with us. David said, thou art a shield for me. God's not some impersonal deity floating around in the far reaches of outer space. He is our heavenly Father. Thou art a shield for me. Get to know God, not just facts about God. Form a fellowship and a relationship with Him. Let God be your heavenly Father. We can glory in God even during the times of trouble by our regard for God, by our relationship with God. Number three, by our resemblance to God. Notice what David said. He said that God is the lifter up of mine head. Now, like Christ, David's countenance did not fade during difficult times. So oftentimes, the difficulties come into our life, the hardship, the troubles, and what happens? The head drops. The countenance falls. The shoulders droop. The chest sags. The lips begin to poke out. We become downcast. David said, Lord, thou art the lifter up of my head. Stay faithful. Let Christ lift your spirit out of the muck and mire of troublesome times. God wants us to be tall, exclamation points, not sagging question marks. That's how we can let God be our glory during times of trouble. How? By our regard for God, by our relationship with God. Number three, by our resemblance to God. And number four, by our riches in God. Look at verse four. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. What a treasure to be able to approach the throne of God, to unload our troubles at Daddy's doorstep and trustingly confide in him to take care of our difficulties. Notice our voice doesn't go out into nothingness. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Our voice doesn't go out into nothingness when we pray. My friend, it is heard by God in heaven. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? You better believe I believe that. God's answered too many prayers in my life for me not to believe that. Now, you can try to convince me and tell me all day long that there isn't a God and that God isn't involved in our life and God doesn't care about our life and God isn't concerned about the thoughts that go inside of our head and the struggles and the things that we worry about, but God answers prayer, and God has answered too many of my prayers to know that there's not a God in heaven that doesn't answer prayer. And even if he hadn't, my friend, the Bible says God hears our voice and we can take the word of God to the bank. God's word has never failed. Those are four ways that we can make God our glory right in the trials of life. Psalm 3, the Lord is our rock. In verses 1 and 2, we see how we should complain to God during times of trouble. In verses 3 and 4, we see how we should confide in God during times of trouble. Now let's look at verses 5 and 6. And I want you to see how we should have confidence in God in times of trouble. Look at verse 5. David said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Friend, David has so much trust. He had so much confidence that God had heard his prayer that David lays down to a sound sleep even though he was being hunted by thousands of men. Literally. Now, if you go back and read this story in the book of Samuel, you will find that Ahithophel went back to Absalom and he requested of Absalom for an additional 12,000 troops to go and hunt and find and kill David. Now, my friend, if Absalom was given charge to Ahithophel of 12,000 more soldiers, that only stands the reason that there were already many more thousands in the wilderness looking for him. But the Bible says that David laid down and he slept. He would not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about against him. Now, how was David able to do this? How did David have this much confidence in such a terrifying and fearful setting and situation? Friend, I'll tell you how. If God be for us, who can be against us? Friend, let me ask you. Has Jesus saved you? Yes? Then God is for you. You're in the family of God. Why are your nights sleepless? Only because your eyes are not on Christ and they are on your troubles. Pray and have confidence in the watch care of your heavenly Father who has promised to work all things together for good in your life. And this is the confidence that we have in him, the Bible says, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, my friend. Can I encourage you to get into the Word of God and in the Word of God, discover the will of God and then pray the will of God to God and have the confidence that God is hearing your request. Because if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. We should have confidence in God during times of trouble. Now, David, in these verses, David estimated the size of his problems, look at it, to be 10,000s of people. Now, your problems may be that big. But how big is God? They were closing in to attack David. And your problems may have you down in the 10 count. They may have put a stranglehold around your neck. But hope thou in God. The Lord shall be thy confidence, and he shall keep thy foot from being taken. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 26 says, David does not face his problem with the carnal weapon of the sword. Now that's what he was facing. He was facing an army with spears and swords coming against him. But David doesn't pull out his carnal weapon to fight this battle. He faces it with the spiritual weapon of all prayer. My friend, we got to start fighting our battles with God's weapons. So we see David's holy calm in verse number 5. David said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Not only do we see David's holy calm in verse number 5, we see David's holy courage in verse number 6. He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. God gives us the calm. God gives us the courage. Be at perfect peace with the sovereignty of God. David was at perfect peace during this trouble because he had the perfect peace and trust of God's sovereignty. God had anointed him to be king, but yet here he is in this trouble. My friend, be at perfect peace with the sovereignty of God. He's orchestrated the situation you're in. Trust him with it. Let the Lord be your rock. And if the Lord truly be our rock, prayer will be our first response, not our last. The Queen of Scotland said this. She said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than an army of 10,000 men. Thomas Law said, I had rather stand against the cannons of the wicked than to stand against the prayers of the righteous. What a powerful weapon prayer is. Christ can give us courageous confidence. Courageous confidence, no matter our circumstance. Friend, you may not be sure what to do. You may not be sure which direction to go in. Listen to me. If that's you, we can do more than pray after we have prayed, but we cannot do more than pray until we have prayed. Your family needs your prayers. This church needs your prayers. God knows this nation needs your prayers. Learn to let the Lord be your rock. Because whether you realize it or not, you too need your prayers. My brother and sister, it's time to start. Stop being a wishbone about your prayer life and start developing some backbone about your prayer life. Turn off the news at night. Put the device down. Quit looking at YouTube. Put the video game down. Go to bed a little bit earlier so you can get up and pray. Put the devices and the distractions down at night and spend some time in prayer as you close your day. Wake up in the morning and start your day and pray. Just pray, 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 pray. The Lord is our rock. Well, in the first two verses, we see how we should complain to God during times of trouble. We have to maintain our prayer. We got to maintain our peace, and we have to maintain our piety. Stay in fellowship with God. In verses 3 and 4, we see how we should confide in God during times of trouble. God is our shield, and as our shield, we should glory in Him. And we do that by our regard with God, our relationship with God, our resemblance to God, and by our riches in God. In verses 5 and 6, we see how we should have confidence in God during times of trouble. God can give us calm. God can give us courage right in the midst of our trouble. We need to trust in the providence of God, and we need to pray. And let's close out Psalm 3 by looking at verses 7 and 8, how we should conquer through God during times of trouble. Look at verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Notice who fought David's battles. David said, thou hast smitten all my enemies. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. All those who were saying that there is no hope for him in God, now they have no teeth to utter such plain words against David. God has broken all their teeth. He's broken the teeth of the ungodly. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies, the 10,000s of people coming against him. It was God who fought David's battles. And my friend, you listen to me and you listen to me good. If you want to be a more than a conqueror as God promised you would be, then you got to quit trying to fight your battles, and you got to let God be God, and you got to let God start fighting your battles for you. You are not meant to fight those battles. When we come back with the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon, we're following the Lord. Who's going to do all the fighting? My friend, it's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And with his rod, he's going to dash the nations into 1,000 pieces. He's going to blow them all back with the word of his mouth. Let God start fighting your battles for you. Be faithful to God. Maintain your piety. Pray and trust God. Trust God. Trust God and pray. Let the Lord be your rock. Let him be your foundation. Let him be the firmness in the quicksand of life. Submit. Be patient. Trust. Be faithful and obedient. And let God be God. Friend, when that happens, stress will run up the white flag of surrender. Peace will jump right into your problem. And we become a conqueror, not a casualty, on the battlefield of the trials of life. You remember from Psalm 2 that we looked at this morning, when dealing with his enemies, when all the nations were raging and taking counsel together, and the kings of the earth set themselves against God and against his anointed. You remember God didn't even take up the effort of rising up off of his throne and dealing with his enemies. But he just sat there. But I tell you the truth, when his tender sheep is caught in the crosshairs of the enemy, and his tender sheep is bleeding trustingly toward heaven, God arises and God saves. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Look at verse 8. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. David began Psalm 8 with complaints about his foes. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? But now David ends Psalm 8 with compliments about his father. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. The Lord is our rock. Now, like David, maybe something has rattled you. Then, like David, be refreshed and sleep with holy peace. Renew your hope in our great Heavenly Father and ready yourself for the victory as you walk with the Lord right through the midst of your trouble. My friend, that's the course to overcome any problem, any trial, any temptation, any trouble in your life. And that course is set before us in Psalm 3. We must let the Lord be our rock. Let's pray.